Good morning, Christchurch. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello, Christchurch.
Hey, it's great
to
be with
you
all
this morning.
Yeah. We can see on our Facebook stream feed, we can see the people coming online now. And we just want to just do a quick welcome to you before we officially start as you're logging in and posting. Janet's just arrived. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Janet.
And Tom. And we've got Christina and Kevin and Dave. We've got a whole bunch of people. Hi, Tom Calvert. He says hi, guys. It's just really good to be with you. And you're just so welcome to be here. So as you log on, it'd be great to just know if you're posting with us, it'd be great to know where you're posting from. If you're in Bristol, it'd be great to know if you're in Bristol. If you're outside Bristol, it would also be really good to see where you're coming from. Hello, Sophie Mitchell. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah. And Jack Reed.
With us as well. Welcome.
Hey, Rachel Amble has joined us. The Ambler family are with us as well.
Huzzah.
Morning, Ambler family.
Wonderful. Yeah, do let us know where you're watching from this morning. I am in my living room, as you can see.
And I'm in my study.
In your study?
I'm in my study. Graham Stewart's joined us. Lizette's joined us. The Lillington family have joined us. Welcome, Lillingtons.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Jen and Mark Ellis are in there.
Here they come.
Oh, we're filling up fast. So good to have you all. Jane Phillips. Welcome, Jane Phillips. BS8 all the way.
Really good. Ruthie and the family, yeah, we welcome you. Mark McCurdy, hello. And Jane Gillis, the wonderful Jane Gillis from Wick. Sharon Parsons says hi. Her and Amy are decorating a bedroom, I think.
Brilliant.
Wonderful. The Biggs family in from Bristol. Brilliant.
Steph, morning, Steph. Oh, the Amler family are in their living room.
Lovely. Mel is in Westbury-on-Trim.
Brilliant. The Bucklands are in Bucklands, watching in Bristol.
Wonderful. Do we have any international visitors with us?
Oh,
yet.
Give us a shout out.
Yeah, we'd love to hear you.
The Cotswolds. Oh, Amy's in the Cotswolds. I think that's the furthest so far I've seen.
Wonderful. So good. We've got Keith and the Brown family. Cameron's here. Hello, Cameron and Christina and the family. Really good to have you with us.
So good. Morning, Margot. Good to have you join us.
We've got just about 30 seconds until we're going to officially start. Do you keep logging in?
And, keep going in.
Encouraging friends to join us as well. Do let us know where you're posting from.
Yeah, we've got Jean-Marie and Will from Yatton there signing in. Morning.
We've got someone from Devon. Hello. From Devon.
We've got Adam Tam is joining us from Leamington. Good morning, Adam.
Adam and Jess, welcome. And Andy Haynes. Wonderful. Well, it's great to be able to welcome you. The Cardinals are here as well, and the Ellens in Shirehampton. It's really, really wonderful to have you with us this morning. And you join us in a slightly different format this morning. This time last week, we were sat in church with you, and that was a different experience. And this is a whole new different experience again.
Definitely is.
For us. And we're trying out some different kind of software that will enable us to stream live, but from all these different locations. So I wanted just to introduce you to me. My name is Chris, and I'm a part of the staff team. I was going to say here at Christchurch, but at Christchurch, but here from my living room this morning. I've been a part of the staff team for about 7.5 years, and we've got Neil with us.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to have you all on.
Yeah, Neil is going to be leading our prayer time a little bit later on. We've also got Sophie with us, I believe. Is Sophie around? Now, there might be a little bit of delay, but we want... Hello, Sophie.
Hey!
Wonderful to have you with us. Sophie is going to be leading our worship for us in a little bit. We've also got Julia with us. Julia, where are you? Again, there might be a little bit of delay. There she is. There's Julia. Julia,
hey guys.
In her new living room. She just moved house.
And I did. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're going to be just sharing some church family news with us in a little bit as well. It's great to have you. And we've also got Paul and Jackie with us from their house as well. Paul and Jackie, are you there?
Good morning.
Hey. Good to see you all, church family. Do you like our new cross that we made? Found some wood in Ashton Court and decided we'd have a cross behind us for the day.
It looks fantastic. It's great to have you with us. Paul and Jackie are going to be leading us in our communion. And Paul's also going to be speaking to us and leading a reflection for us in a little bit. So can I just welcome you again, particularly if you're a visitor with us. And we were just praying before we started, and we were just saying, actually, this is new for all of us. You know, we've not done this before. None of us have done this before. So even if you've been a part of Christ Church for a very long time, or in fact, you've never been into our church before and you're just visiting online this morning, and we're all a bit in the same boat this morning. This is new for all of us, but you are so welcome to be with us, and we love having you. Do keep posting your comments and saying hi and where you're from. We love to connect with you in that way as well. What we're going to do as a part of our gathering this morning is we're going to have communion together. And one of the things we wanted just to say is a part of that is that we've been obviously advised that we don't share a common cup when it comes to communion, which means we don't want to drink from the same cup when we take our communion. And so what we're encouraging you to do is, as and when we get to that part of our gathering, is just to grab your own glass or cup or mug or whatever you want to do it from, and just so that everyone has their own individual cup. That's what we want to advise as we head towards communion later in our gathering. Brilliant. What I want to do, as I want to pray for us, and I want to pray as we begin with our sung worship. And I also want to just say that we've been playing with all the technology during the week and trying to work out all the best things to do. And it's important to know that, you know, the sound quality is not going to be the best, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, it's not all about the sound quality. It's not about that. It's about us coming together as church family to worship God together. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are, to try and find a way to engage with our time of worship now. You can sing where you are. You can stand. You can kneel. You can sit. You can do whatever you need to do. But please find a way with us this morning to engage with our sung worship as Sophie leads us. Let's take a moment to pray together just before Sophie leads us. O Lord, our God, you are worthy of all our praise. You are the God who never fails to keep his promises. We thank you that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see your love, your justice, your mercy, provision, and victory. You are the God who lifts up those who are weighed down. You are the God who provides for your children. Our desire this morning is to praise you as long as we live. Inhabit our praises as we gather today through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So let's take some time now to worship together with Sophie.
We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons together, starting The Sun Comes Up.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Sing, bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my
rich in love. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. All your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons of my heart to find. Sing, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Sing, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Oh God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Sing that again. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my strength. God. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. Father, thank you that we rest in the knowledge that you are sovereign, that you reign. You reign over all earthly things. Father, we give to you right now any cares that we are burdening, that are burdening us, any worries that are overflowing in our minds. We pray that today we would meet with you in a new way, being filled with a fresh confidence that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Majesty. We offer you our all today, Father. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sophie. You did so brilliantly. Well done. Wonderful. Right, we're going to move our gathering on and we're going to go into our church family news. Julia, where are you? Is Julia with us? There she is. Can you hear us? I don't know if she can hear us.
What's happening?
I think she's lost us. You can't hear us. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little bit of church family news myself. And what I'm going to do quickly is I'm going to share a story that got sent through to us by one of our church family members, Naomi. And one of the things that we are encouraging everyone to do right now is to share as many testimonies as you can with our church family. And we've got a website, not a website, an email address that you can send your stories into. And the website, the email address, sorry, is stories@ccweb.org.uk. That's stories@ccweb.org.uk. And if you've got a testimony or a story of what God is doing in your life or the people around you right now, then we'd love to hear it. Do please send your stories in to us. But this story is from Naomi, who's a member of our church family. And she wrote to me this week and said, she said this, "Dear Chris, I have a cool story from this week. On Wednesday night, I arranged a call with a friend of mine who used to come along to my youth group when we were younger, but has since drifted away from God for various reasons. I was a bit nervous about the conversation, as the last few times I've spoken to her, things have been very negative and I've struggled to know what to say to help. She's also someone I've been praying for ages, and I have been quite discouraged to see little change. So I asked a couple of the girls in my small group to pray for a positive conversation and a breakthrough. When I spoke to my friend, the conversation was full of ups and downs, but at the end, she randomly showed me a book she had made a while back for an old youth leader of ours. The book was full of amazing things, drawings, prayers, Bible verses, Christian song lyrics. We both had such a cool moment where we were both reminded of some of the ways God had spoken to her and worked in her life. We spoke again today and she recommitted her life to Jesus. I was so excited, and this just reminds me of how good and faithful God is and how he is working even when we don't realize it. Praise God." Isn't that such a good story? That's so encouraging. And we love to hear your stories. So please do share them with us. Neil's with us as well. Hello, Neil. I don't think we can hear you, Neil.
Can't hear me. There we are. Brilliant.
Welcome.
We were going to look at some different ways to do practical stuff as well, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we said we'd have some change time to do that. So I was just thinking about a couple. Chris, you might have some as well. I've seen on Facebook a few people setting up little pub quizzes on Zoom. So it could be something you could do as a small community, or it could be something you do kind of with some neighbours or a group of friends from a sports club or something like that. Just get them together and say, why don't we do something together, like a quiz or a pub quiz type thing. There's one idea. Chris, yep. Have you got any other ideas?
Well, just to say also that many of our small communities have been meeting via online formats, things like Zoom. And that's been really encouraging. I met with some small group leaders this week, and we had a really good conversation about what they've been doing. And just one of the ideas that some of our small group leaders shared, Matt and Emily Nixon, hello, if you're watching, they shared an idea with which they've done in their small group, where they just buddy people up into like twos and threes, and just encourage people to share, just share an encouragement with each other at the beginning of every day, or just to connect with each other at the beginning of every day. And so we really encourage you, if you're in a small community as a part of our church normally, then please do find ways to connect. And little ideas like that become really important for connection in a time where we can be so so dispersed. So that's just one little idea in terms of small groups as well.
Yeah, great. Another one as well is that if you've got kids in school, can you organise for your kids' class to get together on Zoom? I did that with my youngest kids class this week. It was really good. Just keep them structured. I gave them a little question to think about before they came onto the screen, so they could talk to each other and answer a question. And then I give them a little thing, so they had to go off and find 8 different items around the house, and they all ran off, found them and brought them back, like football. Brilliant. Or a shoe or something like that. Just give them, but it just helped them to connect as a class as well. So if that's appropriate for you, then do get involved.
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah. It's also worth saying that Ruthie, our kids pastor, has sent out a load of stuff for kids church for this week. And so if you're part of our normal Friday email and all that kind of stuff, or you're linked in with our kids emails, then she's sent through some ideas for you to do as part of stuff with family and kids as well. So please do get stuck into that as well. It'd be great to keep engaging with our kids and our families with what God's doing. Brilliant. Neil?
Great. Should we go into some prayer?
Let's pray.
Let's pray together. Just as we're going into prayer, just to say as well, if connecting with God each day, there's lots of resources out there. One that we would recommend, I think it's been on our Facebook page, is Lexio 365 by Pete Gregg and the 24/7 team. Really good resources and helpful ways to pray as well. So, but there's loads out there. Do share if you're part of the church family Facebook page, then do share other ways of connecting as well. As we pray today, I wanted to bring 5 different things to pray for, and 5 different activities or things that you can use around the house to help you to pray through the week as well, not just right now as we pray, but through the week. And it may be for all of us to do that. So the first thing you might find around your house is some tissue paper. And what we're going to do is we pray with the tissue paper. Tissue paper is fragile and it is easily torn. And so as we think about, and it might be that you want to carry this around, and as we pray for each section, I'm going to give some space just for us to pray, and then I'll finish it off as well. But as we pray using the tissue paper, let's pray for those that are the most vulnerable in society. Let's pray for those most in need at this time. It may be the elderly, those who need to self-isolate due to other health conditions, or the pregnant, for the homeless. Let's just take some time to pray for those that are most vulnerable and in need at this time. So, Father, we pray for our vulnerable and most in need. Father, we pray that your grace and your mercy would be with them. Father, we pray for your protection and your healing. Would you surround them? Father, would you put others around them that can support and encourage them? In Jesus' name. Amen. The next one is a fabric plaster. And you may have these in your house as well. And we're going to pray for those that are sick at this time. So again, you might want to stick this somewhere on your house, on a door, on a window frame or something that you can just remind. And every time you walk past it, you think, I'm going to pray for those that are sick. So it might be in this time you want to pray for someone specifically, or we're just praying generally for those in our communities, in our cities, in our nations, in our world that are sick and suffering at this time. So let's pray for the sick. Father, we thank you that you're the God that heals, that you're the God that restores. And we pray for all those that are sick at this time, whether they're sick from this virus or from other things, long-term and short-term. Father, we pray your healing. Father, we lift all those that have been named in this time, and we pray for all those that you know that need your healing. Holy Spirit, come and fill each one of them in Jesus' name. Amen. The next one, you may have some of this around, hand sanitizer. Bit of hand sanitizer there. And as you put some on and wipe your hands, pray for those who are on the front line. Pray for those, for the medics, for doctors, for nurses, for all the health professionals, and for all those that are helping in the kind of in other ways as well, in terms of with our teachers who are still looking after children in classrooms, for delivery people, for shop workers. Pray for them. Pray for protection. Pray for grace. Again, there may be people that you specifically know that you want to name right now. But let's pray for our medics, doctors, nurses and health professionals, our teachers, our shop delivery people and shop workers. Father, we thank you for all those people that you have equipped, that you've gifted to serve the community at this time. Father, we pray for our medical professionals. Father, we thank you for them. Father, and we pray your protection over them. Father, we pray that they would have all that they need at this time. Father, we pray that when they get time to rest, that you would give them good sleep and rest. Father, we pray for all those that are serving our community, vital parts of our community, for our teachers, for our shop workers, for our delivery drivers. Father, we pray. We thank you for them. And Father, we pray that they would have all they need in Jesus' name. Amen. Two more to go. If you get a piece of paper and fold it up, cut it into a heart shape, and then unfold it. You can have a little heart chain. And we want to pray for God's love and not fear. Fear is such a huge and overwhelming emotion. But let's pray for God's world. And again, there might be people and situations that you want to do this with during the week and write their names onto each heart. But let's pray that God's perfect love will cast out fear. Pray for those who know God's love to be examples, and to pray for those who are fearful at time that they would know God's peace. So again, let's pray for God's perfect love to cast out fear. And so, Father, that's what we pray. I pray your perfect love would cast out fear. at a time where the news and the media is full of all that's going on, Father, we pray for your peace to reign and to rest. Father, we pray that your perfect love would flood this land, this nation. Father, for those that know you, that they would know more of your love. Father, for those that don't yet know you, Father, we pray that they would encounter your good and perfect love that brings peace. In Jesus' name. And finally, let's think about, perhaps you're all doing it much more than you were used to, but hand washing. And I want to encourage us as we hand wash to say the Lord's Prayer. There's lots of ideas out there, lots of songs that we can sing. But on occasions when you're washing your hands, use the Lord's Prayer. Pray for yourself. Pray for your families. Pray for the Lord's Prayer to be fulfilled and brought about in our nation and land at this time. And so as we finish our time of prayer, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And you can imagine washing your hands. Again, it lasts about 20 seconds. So let's say together, wherever you are, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good to pray with you all.
Yeah, thank you so much. Wonderful. What we're going to do is in a second, we're going to hear from Paul as he leads us in today's reflection. But before we do that, let me just say another huge welcome to anyone that has joined us since we started. It's so good to have you with us. If you're visiting with us today or you're a part of our church family, it's just wonderful to have you with us. If you're watching this later on catch up, and it's also great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us. So I want to just pray for Paul as he takes us into the beginning of a slightly new season and series of teaching that we're going to be looking at over the coming weeks. Let's take a moment to pray for Paul. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way in which you speak through it. And we ask this morning that you would speak to us through your word, that you would use Paul to speak into our hearts. Thank you, God, that you love to change and transform us. And we place ourselves into your hands now and before you and say we want to be changed and transformed into your likeness. Use Paul this morning as he communicates with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Christchurch, it's very good to be with you again today, even in this rather strange way. What happens when you wake up one day and the world that you went to sleep in has changed radically? What happens when the life that you've always taken for granted has itself been, well, taken? What happens when you discover that you're on a journey that you were not expecting, a journey for which you've had little time to prepare? And I think that's the reality for much of the people of Earth at the moment. We're on some sort of journey because we have left somewhere and we're heading somewhere else. Normally, I really enjoy journeys, often because there's a holiday at the end of them or some exciting place. And the great thing about a journey normally is, firstly, that you've chosen to make it. You've had time to prepare. You've got a map. You know the timeline. You know where and why you're going, and you know what lies at the end of it. But actually, this journey is different. None of us, even days ago, knew that we were going to be traveling this journey. We've had so little time to prepare for it. It's an involuntary journey. We've not decided to go on it. We've been propelled upon it. We have no map, no idea of how long the journey will last or what Destination's End looks like. And I guess I, like you, have registered from time to time when it's been on the news every few years that something like this global pandemic was a possibility. And I guess I'd sort of filed it away somewhere, along with a meteor strike or Yosemite blowing up or Hinkley becoming the next Chernobyl. But it's one thing knowing something is a possibility, and an entirely different thing knowing that all of a sudden you're living it. I was in a video conference call with leaders across Bristol looking at four of the critical areas of need during this crisis: homelessness, food poverty, foster care, and isolation. And our mayor, Marvin Rees, made an interesting comment. He said, "The world is in mourning. We're mourning the death of the illusion that we were somehow in control." And then on the BBC News this morning, Baroness Finlay, who is Professor of Palliative Medicine at Cardiff University, said these words: "Up until now, people thought they could plan for everything, but we finally realized that we live with uncertainty all the time, and it's confronted us head on." So the title for this talk I've taken from The Hobbit, and actually the title that Peter Jackson gave to the first in his series of three films of the book. The title for this talk is An Unexpected Journey. And in a sense, Christians, people of faith, are no different from anybody else. We're all on an unexpected journey. But we can learn things from the Bible, because the Bible is full of unexpected journeys. As you read through the Bible, just begin to note how many unexpected journeys there are. And most of them seem to have two things in common. Firstly, they're involuntary. The people concerned in the journey didn't choose it. And secondly, the journey is almost always into a desert place. You think of Adam and Eve going to sleep one night in Eden. The next day, they're shown the door, and the door is behind them, and they're out in the desert. You think of the four great characters of the book of Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Three of them, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, had unexpected journeys. Jesus, as a baby with his parents, had an unexpected, involuntary journey as they became refugees fleeing from a vengeful king. Years later, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, he was driven out, we're told, by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And the phrase that describes the Holy Spirit driving Jesus out is the same language as when Adam and Eve were driven out into the desert. The early church was driven out of Jerusalem by persecution. That is how the good news began to spread. So if, as many commentators are saying, we are going on a journey for which we haven't been prepared, an unexpected journey, and if spiritually there's a sense of the desert, then it's good to familiarize ourselves with some of the characteristics of the desert. And I want to talk about a couple of things in this talk that are true both on a physical level in an actual desert and also on a spiritual level. So we're going to spend a few weeks, as Chris said, beginning a new series. We're going to spend some time as a church family in, without doubt, the most significant desert journey of the scriptures. And that's the story of the Exodus. If you have a Bible, please turn it on or open it to Exodus 16, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. Whilst you're looking that up, let me remind you, and particularly for those who may not be aware of the story, the people of Israel, led by Moses, have left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea in a miracle of God, and they're now out in the desert. And they are in a similar situation to us. Everything that was familiar has been left. They had little preparation and no planning. They've got no maps, no timeline, no real understanding of how long this journey is going to be. So let's pick up the story a few days into the Exodus in chapter 16. whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." All faiths have known that desert spaces have spiritual significance. Desert places are places of testing and discovery, of realizing afresh who we are. And one of the things that the desert gives is clarity. I've not been to many deserts in my life, a couple in North America and more recently in the Judean wilderness outside Jerusalem. And in a desert, you can see much further. Sounds are clearer. And of course, there are far fewer distractions. It's as though life is stripped back. I won't say at this point that I'm deeply aware that some members of our community, medics and other key workers, are feeling far from that at the moment. And I just want to acknowledge that. But for many of us, in lockdown, inside our homes, there is a sense of life being stripped back. And it seems to me that the desert experience presents us with a choice of what we're going to pursue. This may sound a little contrived, but I think the choice is whether we're going to pursue envy for what we've left, or whether we're going to pursue encounter in what is possible. You've probably, many of you heard, like I have, the idea that the Chinese word for crisis combines danger and possibility. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not actually the case. The actual word in Chinese means the possibility of danger. In other words, just like any translation of crisis, it means a pivotal moment. It means a moment of danger, a moment where we have to make our choices. And people have had the most extraordinary experiences in these desert places. You think for a minute of one of those characters I mentioned, Jacob. You may remember he had an experience of seeing heaven opened above his camp bed out in the desert. He saw a ladder coming down between earth and heaven and angels going up and down on it. A little later, he met God by a desert stream and wrestled with him. Now, Jacob was very much a home bird. He was a mummy's boy. He didn't want to leave home at all. He didn't want to go out on this journey. He did it because he'd so outraged his family, and in particular his brother, that his brother, his twin brother, wanted to kill him. And so Jacob, as it were, is propelled out on this journey. But I don't believe Jacob would swap those experiences of encounter with God in the desert for all of the home comforts he left behind. And there's the irony then, that sometimes we look backwards in envy. And I know what that is over the last few days. For the people of Israel and the story that we're considering, that past is represented by Egypt, the place they'd come from. Now, when Joseph and his family first moved down to Egypt, it was a great place for them. And Joseph and his father Jacob died peacefully, fulfilled and content. But the events of the Exodus happened 400 years later, when Egypt has become, for the people of God, characterized by two words, oppression and slavery. And you may be thinking, well, the life that I remember, the normal life of just a few days ago, surely that wasn't a life of oppression and slavery. And I'd simply ask the question, really? There's a line in an old hymn that talks of our spirits being oppressed by pleasure, wealth, and care. It isn't just horrid things that can oppress us. Good things can oppress us too. We can be oppressed by being surrounded with too much as we can be oppressed by desperate need. We can be enslaved by good things. How many people have I heard talk over the years about modern life and its treadmill, its rat race, its relentlessness? People saying my life has become busier and busier over the years. So are we really envious for what we've left? Or are we going to pursue a fresh encounter with God saying new things? One of the things that is true of the desert experience is that it is never permanent. This will end. There is no doubt about it. Even in Psalm 23, when David talks about the valley of the shadow of death, the language is when I go through that valley. For Christian believers in particular, that valley is not a permanent staging place. We go through it. And so it will be with this. But surely there are some things we do not want simply to come back to our supposed normal. Surely we can never go back to our wonderful NHS, underfunded and understaffed, when we have seen the courage and the devotion and the dedication that our medical people are giving to our nation and, of course, the nations of the world. I'm sad to say that the idea of dolphins swimming in the Venetian canals is also fake news, but the water is now clear enough to see the fish that have always been there. There's an irony, is there not, in the fact that we are shut down as a human race because of a disease that attacks our lungs, a disease that tragically chokes life out of people. And yet, as a result, the world on which we live is breathing more easily than it has for decades, maybe for centuries. Do we not need to give some thought to what God might be saying to us in the desert place? To me, it is vital that we pursue encounter with God. And as all people in desert places have done, as the people of Israel did, as Jesus had to in his own experience of the desert, face the question, who are we dependent on? The preeminent threat to the people of Israel when they were in the desert was looking back and deciding they could sort things for themselves. In Exodus 16, we met them grumbling and looking back and saying, well, it doesn't really matter that we were enslaved, doesn't really matter that we were oppressed back in Egypt, at least we got a decent meal. And God says, I will provide and you will learn dependency on me. And I want to draw things to a close by talking about how we feed ourselves in this desert time. I had a lovely email during the week from somebody who mentioned that other churches are and other church leaders are doing things daily. And could we do the same? And of course, the answer is yes, we could. The question is, what is God asking us to do? We may well do something like that, but the thing I want to say to you, all of you listening today, the key thing is not simply to tune in to what somebody is teaching, whether it be me or Pete Gregg. Jackie and I love his Lectio 365. We listen to that most days. But I want to say to you that the key voice to hear in this desert season is the voice of God himself. Because one of the realities of the desert experience is that God is there too. So will you intentionally pursue encounter? When you're tempted to look back with envy at the life that at least temporarily we have left or has left us, will you intentionally pursue that encounter with the living God? I'm going to live a few moments of quiet, and then Jackie and I are going to take us into a time of remembering the death of Jesus. So just a few moments of quiet for reflection on the desert place and our decision. Jack is just going to light the candle and bring forward bread and wine. Almost inevitably, at a time like this, even people of faith can ask the question, Jesus, where are you in all this? And many of us in conversation with friends who don't share our faith may have faced the question, not necessarily in these words, but where is your God? That's a question that David notes in the Psalms. And we can't give easy, cheap answers to that. But the Bible has an answer, which is actually quite astonishing. The Bible says that Jesus is, in some mysterious sense, where he's always been, dying on the cross, at the heart of human suffering. I know that Jesus is risen, that's what we believe, of course, but there is a sense in which Jesus dies for each of us, on and on. Jesus is not aloof, not in some palatial palace, but he is in the midst of his people suffering. And so today we bring him to mind again. The suffering servant, yes, the risen one, but in our mind's eye now, we see him again on that cross. And the day before he died there, he gathered his friends as he gathers us now, even scattered across the city and beyond. He calls us his followers. And he met with his disciples. And during the meal, he took bread. He gave thanks to his Father in heaven. He took the bread and he broke it. And he said to all who follow him, "This is my body, broken for you." In the same way, he took a cup of wine, gave thanks to his Father, and gave it to them all, saying, "This blood is the new covenant of God's love. My blood is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me." As we share bread and wine today, Sophie is going to sing over us. So take time to draw near with faith, to bring all that you are afresh to the cross, to remember that blood speaks life, as it did at the very start of the Exodus journey. That blood speaks to death and says, "No, my people will live." The blood of Jesus promises us, whatever we face in this life, an eternity with him. So take bread and drink wine in remembrance of him. Take it in faith and with thanksgiving.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gave. But Lord,
poor content on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love. Flamingo down, did as I love and sorrow meet. All thorns compose, so rich a crown. Were the realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so my soul, my life, my all.
Father, we thank you for the bread and wine which we have received. We thank you for what you are doing. And we thank you for the ways in which you've been speaking to us this morning. We ask that you would continue to change and transform our lives. We ask that you would help us to continue to be a blessing to the world around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Sophie, as well, for your wonderful singing. And that really about wraps it up for us this morning. Let me say again, we are just so glad that you've been with us this morning. We're so glad that we got to be together. And please do stay connected with us. Our website will have information week to week about what's going on. And do feedback to us on how this kind of format is working for you and whether it's working. That would be really helpful, helpful to know. We'd love to say goodbye to you. And before we do that, I'd love to just read to you a psalm to finish. And we've been using this psalm over the last few weeks in our gatherings. And it's Psalm 121. And I want to read this over us as we go from here. And then we'll say goodbye. It says this: I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Well, let's say goodbye. Is anyone else going to join me in saying goodbye? Let's have a look. Is anyone coming? Yes, Neil's here.
Hey, bye, everyone. It's been great to be with you. Thanks for all your comments throughout as well. It's been amazing to hear.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Let's love.
Paul and Jackie.
Great to be with you.
And Sophie was there for a minute, but she's
briefly there, disappeared.
Hey, it's great. It's been great to have you with us. And Julia as well. Hello. Sorry, we didn't get to see you very much. And Mark.
Hey, Mark. Amazing job, Mark.
Yeah, he's done really well. Hey, have a great week. Do stay connected with us. And we'll definitely see you again at 11 o'clock next Sunday, if not before. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.